20 minutes before noon. Now, let me clear up some stuff. There's some muddy waters here and there, right? Now, this one says, Corey, first, remind the public that Rock Hall is private lands and that the landowners were well aware when the first squatter went there, far less the last F300. Why should government move people off private lands? Corey, the landowner is who have to stop and enforce notice issued. No. My understanding is that in order to build, you have to have town and country planning permission. No landowner can give you that. So I am lost. Somebody give me a map and compass because I am lost. Now, I've had one message forwarded to me and two sent to me directly of former persons that were in power. I wouldn't call them politicians, I wouldn't call them MPs, I wouldn't call them constituency representatives because they're not all of the above. Now, one thing I would say is that we can debate, we can disagree, but we will not be disrespectful because disrespect will have to be a one-way street. When you're messaging me, I draw a line at cursing me and using abusive language. Now, if you're going to do that, just miss me, pass me, do like Johnny Walker and keep walking, right? Good. Now, let us back up to something former Minister Cameron and I were discussing. Now, he said that I give the impression, slip of tongue, slip of mind, slip of whatever, that the squatting problem was started under the last administration. I can play about all the tapes in the world, the records, the digital. I don't ever think we just use tapes anymore, but we understand. The issue is that with the Rock Hall issue, is that if in 2007, according to reports, you removed the 36, and then in 2019, you have over 300, the 300 would have to be there between 2008 and 2018. So that would be at the feet under the last administration, and I did not put it at anybody, I put it at the authorities, the chief, the people dealing with the country planning or whatever. So let me get that there right. Now, the other part here, because it was said, yes, it can be sent and so on, let's deal with that. Tell Corey, for me, it was not a slip of the tongue. I am disappointed at how little he has sold his soul for, and it goes on, right? Now, just like the issue, let's look at the issue we dealt with just now as it relates to the NAS in Warrens and Kalama Rock. I have no issue because wrong is wrong. Like Cuff the Waller, the little boy that got on the stairs some time ago. If it is wrong, it is wrong. And I do not care if it is my father, it is still wrong. It ain't square and it ain't right. It is wrong. So the day that I can't continue to do that, then we have an issue. That's where I would like to draw the line there. You see, the whole thing is that as Barbadians, we got to understand and know when to draw the lines. The people that are into the whole politicalness, if I wanted to be in politicalness, trust me, there's one body in Barbados that if he wanted to be in politicalness and party politicalness, he could have been in party politicalness, right? Good. I will continue to look after what is best for the country that I love so dearly, which is Barbados. And I would like for us to stick on those issues. Bitterness is a serious disease. And sometimes it sidetracks us from seeing clearly and seeing with clarity. But with that said, let's get down to more brass tacks. Good morning and welcome. You are on the air. Good morning, you're on the air. Remember when you're waiting to stay close to your telephones?
Hello?
Yes, you are on the air, loud and clear.
Peace be unto you, Corey.
Yes, you are. Peace be unto you as well.
Some will love you and some will hate you, but you are blessed.
Blessings.
And do what God wants you to do, speak the truth. Right. I am a person that I am not likable by many because I am very outspoken and I am not deceitful. But Corey, I just call it my Tinimbadu. I build my Tinimbadu and I had to consult town planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know if these people consulted town planning. Let me start first before I say anything, because when you say things against people that are not Bajans, you get victimized. Now, my little Tinimbadu, I take in people from Guyana, Trinidad, Dominica, St. Vincent, Grenada, and without the saint, I travel to these countries. And if I have to say something sometimes to them, that I even had bad feet going up at the hospital twice a day to see that these people are okay if they are hospitalized. Some come for visas, some come may come for live vacation. And if you see here in my home or maybe in their country and I have to say anything that they don't like, I get blasted. You know what they say to us? We're not Belgians, we've got education, but we ain't got no common sense. No. I heard the sister had a Jamaican flag up there on one of the houses in Jamaica, and somebody going squatting in, or people moving a parish and they don't want them, they run them out. But we can't say that all we have is just lip service. And the thing that I hate foreigners, because I go among them and some of them are my friends. But as you say, right is right and wrong is wrong. And not one thing, I have a look, I see in the papers and on the televisions, Belgians, born Belgians, had to move off of people land, and the truck came and either dumped the house, carried the house to the dump, or they put it alongside the road. People building all in the papers, you see the warning people, and when the people don't knock down the structure, you see they come and they knock it down, put it in the papers. So I don't know what's going on. But, you know, we are not people like other people. People will carry placards and demonstrate and everything. Belgians, we just sit down and talk, and we have all lip service. Thank you very much, and may God continue to bless you, my darling.
Have a blessed and wonderful day. Brastats, good morning. You're on the air. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air. Brastats, good morning. Yeah, hello, good morning. Brastats, good morning. Welcome. You're on the air.
Well, I know it ain't no, but you hear a beep.
Yes, beep.
Yeah. Here good too. Morning to you.
Good morning to you too, man. Good, long time no here.
Yeah, long time. I'm done with you. It's just busy. Couldn't really get to you. You didn't be coming out at times when I busy. Mr. Lane, good morning to you again.
Good morning.
One time, started off with the garbage collection. One time when the former government was in, as bad as they were, I could actually predict when the garbage truck can come, but no, I got to have faith now in God.
I'm surprised to hear you saying they were bad, man. I know you used to support them.
Yeah, right, but as people they're saying they are.
Oh, as bad as people say they are. You don't believe that.
Right, but now we can see that. I hope that the people will get to understand what politics is all about, mm-hmm. with all the things that was attacked back in the when the government was in opposition, and now what you were mentioning earlier still the same way, and get even worse because bus fare gone up, mm-hmm. sewage tax on, and now we still can't get these things, these matters fixed, mm-hmm. right? About
Before you continue though, mm-hmm. you would say, and I want you to give me an honest answer. If you believe so, just say so. You believe that a year is enough time for a new administration to fix a lot of these inherited issues?
I believe a year is enough time for a new administration to come and tell the truth. Mm-hmm. That way, feel.
And
but
the truth is what?
All right. They give the people the impression that as soon as they come to office, something will happen. There will be a change.
What did they say? And I want to get into that because I follow the campaign too as well. What did they say that gave you that impression? Because both sides, I remember saying, you know, we're going to have to take some hard decisions, et cetera, et cetera. So what did you hear in particular that gave you that impression?
But I, most of all, I be honest, that I didn't really listen. I didn't listen in sometimes. My ear is the mostly on the side that I support, mm-hmm. to hear what they're saying. And
but then you'd be being disingenuous at bad, dishonest at worst. If you were saying that, you would be being disingenuous at best and dishonest at worst. If you're going to tell me, to be honest, you didn't hear, you didn't listening. You were listening to your side, but you came up and you said.
Corey, listen to me.
I'm listening, sir.
I didn't say that. I didn't listen in. I didn't tell you that I didn't really, or I should say, I didn't follow in then. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm mostly following the other side. But and I'm still listening to the opposition, the BLP.
Right, but I don't want to know. I don't want to know what you missed. Cause obviously, you missed it. But I want to know what you heard that gave you that impression.
Mm-hmm. All right, the impression that was given, it no necessary gotta be, you know, the impression is greater than facts. It ain't necessary gotta be
not
what I say. It is the impression that was being given.
Right, but where did you? I don't forget your point. I don't want to take you off your point. I can give you back your time. But I want to know where you got the impression from, because I think a lot of Barbadians got the impression that whichever of the 17 parties or whatever that were running, that we were in for a hard time. That's the impression that I got. But you got a different impression, and I just want to know how that came to be.
All right, I can tell you what you think the Bajans, the impression that the Bajans get then. And that why the
No, don't talk Bajans. Talk deal with yourself. You say you got that impression. Weird. And then what I'm trying to. I don't want to fight with you.
It's an opinion.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to find out where you got the impression from.
I can give you the opinion that what I think Bajans think about this party now because of the other one, right? And the trouble that we had. I don't know if there's a garbage truck out there, so. I will be thankful. Right.
You got the garbage out, or you have to run and put it out now?
No, the garbage already out, and it out to the actually got to be on the ground and thing.
Oh, you put out your garbage already?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Continue.
Right. What I'm saying, the impression that was given, the marching and all of that, that's the impression they're talking about, Corey.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The marching for everything, the sewage tax that they had on. I know we got sewage tax on from water bill and thing.
Right.
So the impression that Bajans get is that there will be a change and things will be much better, right? From the last opposition when it comes to power. So Bajans came out in the numbers and threw the government out, which they had all right because there was some arrogance. When I stop and I think about it, I believe it was a good thing because the leader was trying to be like, he then a laid back type of guy, right? But that turns out to be, to me, more arrogant than even the last prime minister, like Mr. Arthur. You know, Mr. Arthur was done really wanting a body to challenge him and thing. But he then speaking, but that turned out to be even more dictatorial and that non-speaking thing and going to 5 years. He did it once and then he come back and do it again. I think that's what caused him and the party to lose all the seats. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the impression that was given that with all the arrogance that they're going on with your last administration, that this government will come out and the Bajans will be happy, I know things, they said things will be tough, yes,
mm-hmm.
but Bajans didn't think that they will got to wait. No, the bus problem still ain't fixed and the garbage problem even worse. They didn't look for things to get worse. Right? What do you think?
Right. For me, I thought that it was, and my impression again, and things that I heard is that things would actually get worse before they got better, because we were sick and we had to take medicine and bitter medicine. But then the hope is that in the short term we will start to see some changes. And there are some things that have not changed, like the whole issue of having to go to Warrens and these different things that you thought would be changed, and having the disability unit up 26 stairs or something, like those little things that I thought those would have been changed by now. But I do see some changes. I used to feel disrespected when some of our leaders spoke before, and not some of the time, but every time. No, I think that Barbadians can take pride when their leaders speak no. And I can ask you if you get that impression about thinking about impressions of people as well. What else have changed outside of communication is the economy. Instead of getting downgrades, I think you will notice that we are getting upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at the last quarterly reports and you see, like on the patient's monitor, you're seeing some of the life signs and symptoms and so on, the heart rate and everything. Everything is seeming now to, it is not normalized, but it's getting better. So the patient is getting better. I don't think anyone thought it would be an overnight experience, because for me that would be folly. And those are the changes that I'm seeing. So they're not, everything is not perfect. We didn't go from worse to bad. We get, you know, you get or you go from worse to perfect. You go from worse to bad, and I think that is where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, I know that you can leave just now to the news. So let me just touch on this other point here, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, you can respond to it. But this is aside, Mr. Arthur, the guy Arthur, he speak as though emancipation has to do with poverty. But that aside, I would deal with that again. The thing about squatting, right, Corey? I hear you said that it's not about the owner.
Right, in terms of the stop notice, I don't think it comes from the owner.
I think the owner is who responsible, right? Like if you squatting on somebody's land and squatting for an amount of years, then you will get that land. So who faults it is what it will, like the owner allow you to do that.
But who gives permission to build owners?
But the owners should be, if it's their land, there should be the one that.
But then should be the one getting the stop notice from the authorities, if anything, because the land is in their name. But how does an owner be responsible for people not squatting using the land, but I mean building? Who's right. responsible for building?
If it's my land, Corey, and if you erecting a structure on my land, I would come and stop you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I could stop you, but the owner was like neglect the land. They probably, obviously, owner probably the neglecting the land and the people set up, and then the owner didn't know, and because they don't looking after it, and then it got away. So it's the owner that would be at fault. If the government land, now you can say the government is at fault.
All right, Roger that. I think according to our legislation, it continues to be the responsibility of the Town and Country Planning to deal with the regulation of building. But that being said, the music tells us it's time for the regional roundup. The WhatsApp says, I was listening and I heard someone in another place talking about pushing down the squatters east of the airport. As an attorney at law, you would know quite well that there are legal issues with doing that. Firstly, the squatters can claim compulsory acquisition of the land if within the last 10 years they did not receive an official letter from the government requesting them to move. Secondly, they should be aware that those houses could be housing between 1,000 to 1,500 persons. Brastats, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Corey.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Now, I am angry, livid, anything you want to call there. However, this morning I called the Attorney General's office and I got a voicemail and I left my message. But I know you don't ever get, when you're too busy sometimes to answer these calls. So I go to the Solicitor General's office. After several numbers, I call one number and this lady said, good morning. And I always identify myself before I ask who I'm speaking to. After having done that, I said, who am I speaking to? She told me. I said, can I speak to the Solicitor General, please? She's on holiday. Is there anybody else who would be working for her when she's not there? She is not here. Any idea when I can call back? Well, if I see her today, I will give her your message. So I go back over to the Attorney General's office and I dial a number, 535-0438. Hello? I said, I'm identifying myself. What is your problem? I said, that's why I'm calling you. Do you have a problem? I said, yes, that's why I'm calling. And I'm getting real angry now. I said, well, I'd like to find out if you work in the civil service, because this is not the way you answer the phone. You know the man dropped in front of my ear?
Oh, no, that's unprofessional.
Can you imagine the man? Corey, and I'll tell you something. It is more than I can take care. I won't go down by that place where two people have jumped off because it's no steel. And the young gentleman who God sent me to be the son that I didn't have, who takes me hither, thither, and yon, he does not let me out of his sight. So I can't even try to do it in any place else, right? And I believe in God. You understand where I'm coming from?
Yes,
but
please.
But Corey, I can't take no more. So tell me, I don't know what to do.
Just carry on. Carry on smiling.
Carry on how? You need your mental capacity, your physical capacity.
When I say carry on, I mean you gotta continue to go through the system. You see, when the person that puts down the phone in your ear, I believe they have a boss. They have someone who they answer to. So you carry on up the line until you get the satisfaction that you need. Okay? Now, we're going to try a WhatsApp call. Producer, is that possible? Can we see if we can hear? It's always a touch and go with this, but we'll try. Good afternoon. On the WhatsApp, good afternoon. You're on the air. As I said, it's always a touch and go. You try one more time. Here, let's go. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. All right, no such luck. We continue. Brass Stats, good afternoon. You are on the air.
Hi,
good afternoon.
I was listening to your program this morning. Mm-hmm. And I thought I should give you a call because I heard you say to a couple of the callers, Mr. Better they could see that what the present administration has done in a year. No, the impression given by the present opposition, present part government, when they were in opposition, that they would get things done overnight. Everything was to be fixed immediately as soon as they got into power. I heard people on television saying, no, Ms. Martin, these is in power, money can start flowing in the streets of Barbados.
People went on television and said that?
Yeah.
That's irresponsible.
No, Ms. Martin, power, man, your money can flow. Ms. Martin had a magic wand to live here. You see, Barbados were seriously misled, especially ones who were not thinking, because they would know that things can't happen overnight. Things don't happen overnight, Curry.
They can't.
And I'll tell you something.
They can't. A lot of our problems.
Who is involved in business,
mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, the worst thing to do is to try to micromanage all these things there. Yeah? And that's what I see Ms. Motley doing. Trying to micromanage her government. Not one of her ministers I hear talk about anything at all. Everything that has to be done, she got going to do it.
And that is ridiculous. We spoke about that. No, I can't say that I haven't heard ministers. I've heard many ministers talk about many things, right? My thing is, right, let's cut to the chase here. The impression that I got, and we can only talk about our interpretation of what we heard and what we read. A lot of Barbadians, to my mind, we put out manifestos, and I believe that it's really a disservice to the planet because a lot of them are just thrown around the place. And a large majority of people don't take time to read them. And oh well, because a lot of the times, a lot of the politicians don't take time to implement the things either. Now, my understanding is that we were in a really bad place and that the last administration was just so bad that anybody else would do better. No,
but according to some people, but for me, it wasn't that bad. What the problem is that I don't think that, Ms. Martley's correct. Very correct. I agree with her. I must be honest with you. Because Beijing must shield the full weight.
Mm-hmm.
Beijing must, you shouldn't shield them from what is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Beijing were being shielded by the last administration for all these things that they figure they should have.
I think the main
I tell
problem.
You one of the things that annoys me, though, really annoys me. It's like, Gavis Strax is coming. All these shade papers, okay, we saw Gavis Strax coming.
Mm-hmm.
Some weeks, we have to wait 2.5 weeks for garbage to pick up. I have no problem with that. We got to secure our garbage, probably. But don't let people believe that everything is going to happen instantly or overnight. It can't happen.
For me, the main problem, sir, I want to interject here because it's important. The main problem really was communication, right? I had the privilege of speaking to a number of ministers directly. So there are certain things that they were doing that I could understand or partially understand because I had the opportunity to hear the background to why these things were being done.
Mm-hmm.
But the large majority of the public, they had no such pleasure, no right. such opportunity.
Right.
Because then the few times that we even had the leader, and this is the former Prime Minister Stewart that I am talking about,
uh-huh.
They never really address the Barbados, the public. Now, you can say, yes, I am going to address you from Parliament because that is the designated place. But a leader needs to address the people. And then the second place that you address is at the branch meetings. So there are a lot of people who are independent or on the opposition that don't want to hear that. And then the third place was overseas. And then, so Barbados started to feel slighted. Now, again, actually, you can take a pause and come and then come back at something else. Go ahead.
The situation in terms of branch meetings, only the faithful few go to the branch meeting. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
And people about this place, people in Barbados, I said, not about this place, people in Barbados, where they don't come out until the election time. So a prime minister, I personally like the style of Earl Barr. And that's, a lot of them would adopt the style of Earl Barr, they would understand. Because everybody used to have to be brutally frank with the people of Barbados.
Yep.
You understand what I'm telling you?
Yep. I call it bringing Barbadians into your confidence. So you making major changes on my behalf. Have that mature discussion with me. You can't educate me and then try to pull the wool over my eyes.
There's the point. You can't educate me and then believe that I can believe in forces. That's what's happening here now. You got a lot of educated people in Barbados who accepting the status quo because that's what they want. But I'm one who don't believe in that. You can't educate them and then carry on and insert my intelligence. Do something better than that. If you want to do things, do them. But the point is that I live under Labour Party, Democrat Labour Party. Because all them, whether they're in power or not, makes no difference to me. I still go and work every day. I still go and fight to do things they want to achieve.
I have no problem
with people.
All
I want for them to do is to create the conditions in which I can play on a level playing field.
I have no problem with people, you know, supporting a party. That's your right, right?
Right.
But I find that a lot of people refer to them as yarfowls, and I think it's so wrong. They should really be called cage birds because yarfowls have a level of freedom, right? Let me finish the point, sir. My point is that I find them to be some of the most unpatriotic people that you will find on the planet because they have more interest in the party and the politician and the people that they like than the actual country. So it becomes very sickening. It becomes sickening to the point that I have to ask some of them. Some of them, my friends, my close friends, right? No, you prefer to have the survival of your party over the country. You prefer for the country like Barbados to collapse and your party stay in power. That makes sense to you. Their country's bigger and with more resource than Barbados that made poor decisions 40 years ago and they're now coming out of it. And they're more resourced than us. If we go into those similar problems, do you understand that you will not see the revival of Barbados within our lifetime? Do people understand that? And it boils my blood.
I don't know if you old enough, Corey.
I'm not.
I tell this much. I listen to all of them, but I'm old enough to know. Our Barr's philosophy was he will borrow money to build industrial estate or any productive sector. He would not borrow cents to pay any bill. We had to earn that. We had this country earn its way out of all the problems that it had. This country created an atmosphere. But I must be honest with you, the businessmen in Barbados, when they had the chance to go and buy all of Trinidad and Guyana and then some other places, took the money and spend it in the banks in the states or wherever the bank is, and that was it. They weren't interested in that. No, the problems, all them getting built, no, for next game to nothing. Because these people took the money from Trinidad and Guyana and buying all the Barbados. You know why? Because they want to see Barbados as the safest place for the money to be at this time, for a long time.
But tell me something, sir. You sound like a DLP supporter. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't even matter. How do y'all feel after having about three leaders after Errol Barrow that y'all have to go back to Errol Barrow for everything?
No,
how does that make you feel as a supporter of an organization?
It makes me feel good because you're supposed to learn the history.
But I understand the history, sir, but when y'all speak,
you understood,
it's almost like...
I hear people talking about, you look at Singapore, look at Hong Kong, look at this place. All those things could happen, you know. But you know what happened? There was one difference. There wasn't a democracy being planned. There was a dictatorship that made things right. Because one man had to say, and that was, as he said, You don't spit on the road, you don't spit on the road.
Right. But now going back to leadership, right?
That the point is leadership. Mm-hmm. It's only that you have to have a team of people who are thinking likewise or have ability to bring and talk to the people. Now, every member of parliament have a responsibility to deal with his constituents, be able to talk to, look them in the face and say, this is what is happening, this is what is not happening, this is what you could expect.
But I not moving off the Errol Barrow part yet. When I was growing up, I actually got involved in horses. You know, I used to follow Errol Barrow. You know, he liked the airplanes. I had a book on Errol Barrow. So I do understand my history. So I actually lent somebody my book on Errol Barrow, and I never got it back. And I can't remember who I lent it to. And that was years ago, right? I know I can get it back, right? But I would love it back, tell you the truth. But anyhow, my thing is, when I heard on the reverse side of your party, you know, people say, oh, Grantley Adams, he do this. Tom Adams, he do that. Owen Arthur, he do this, right? But when you hear from the DLP, you just hear Errol Barrow. And it means something has to be wrong with that.
I could talk about Erskine Sanford, but I didn't bring him into this situation. Erskine Sanford saved this country and so actually sacrificed himself for this country.
Mm-hmm.
Because it had some people in his party didn't see the
But saints him what? Saints him what?
Saints him?
Yeah.
It was David Thompson. And you know after David. David Thompson died, unfortunately, before he could even put his mark on anything.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately.
And I believe he would have been an outstanding prime minister.
Good.
I believe you know so. We would never know.
Well, as far as I'm concerned,
he would have had his blunders like any other human being. I think that the Clico thing stands its side. I believe that first budget,
The Clico thing, and I can't defend him, nor anybody in Clico.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of the people, I'm glad it's a Clico,
mm-hmm.
because I am very angry at this administration for putting Wes Life into receivership. Before even understanding anything or dealing with it properly. If they're going to do that, I have a policy. They say they can get $15,000. I went to a meeting and they say $15,000 as a state department. And you know what happened? When they get there, they tell me, it is what is the cash or in the value of my policy. Miss Motley had taken. I said, well, you can pay back the premiums that you pay. Satisfy the policy holders. Fine. But they decide that there's it, cash rent value. Wherever it is, that's the end of the story. You done. Mm-hmm. You know something? They got viable properties in Clico that I'm going to watch them. When after sell them, I want to who buy them and for what?
For how much? I agree with you, sir. But I was told the properties altogether, though, sir. Don't kill the messenger. I was told I got about $60 million in property and $600 million in debt. You understand the problem there? All right. But ever you will keep an eye on the situation. But for me,
go ahead,
because we got
to
do a quick soon. Mm-hmm.
I look at it this way. When Ms. Motley first came to government in 1994, I remember very well because I had a child at school at the time. It was to be EduTech was to solve the problems of this. Mm.
They told me that EduTech, right, was partially an avenue to get some of these schools refurbished because the schools had to be refurbished in order to get the technology installed. So I was wondering if it was, again, a wool over the eye or a slip of hand, you know, to get things done.
You could you say what it was.
Your experience now, you would guide me in a particular way.
Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned, I don't like to accuse nobody of anything.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a slip of hand or whatever you want to call it. But the important thing is, today, so I look at it from this point of view. $400 million was spent in 1994, between 1994 and whenever. And that's $400 million that this country had to absorb. It cost the policyholders, they say $600 million. That's just $200 million more. You could at least say, okay, we can work a program where we can let all the policyholders get Because you know what she'll be doing? Policyholders, there's a beneficiary on every policy. So at least there's one person, if it's 21,000 policyholders, that's 42,000 people that can have benefit in some form or fashion.
My thing is that you could see it as a stimulus to the economy. But I thought, my impression, again, I guess, it looks like they're trying to create a middle ground. Because you could go left and you could say, you know what, that is a private situation. Or you could go right and take out the taxpayers' money and pay people for that private situation. Or you could go through the middle, do your haircut and do your time. I'm just calling it as I see it, sir. At the end of the day, my concern was the length of time it took to do. This is doing well, you know. Well, a friend of Dennis, too, Black is Beautiful, you remember, came and sold me a policy just days before all this madness. But good luck for me. I had him about $20-something, $40-something, $50-something, something like that. So I was actually saved in the nick of time. But my concern is not normally on just myself. My thing is, look at how does this affect people. I know people that died through this situation. People that got nervous breakdowns that through this situation. So this is no small situation. This is not just about mana. This is not just about a dollar here or there, you know. This is actually a life and death issue for some.
But it is. And you take up, you got a pension plan with them. You have a life insurance thing with them. You have all these things planning for down the road. I was one of those who believe in insurance. No, you don't want to see an insurance company.
And that's the bad thing too, because the historical.
That's why too. I bought a policy from the mutual, a pension plan. And at one time I decided, look, I don't understand where this money going. And a few other things stopped me. But you know what they did? When the policy came due for me to start getting a pension, they said to me that you will allow this sum up front, and there's the amount that you pay every month. I said, but when it I want to work out the calculations. I said, but you know something? You also got a lot of money that you're all going to be benefiting. You try to look at me and tell me what that's what it's supposed to be, you know. You got to leave it, Sam.
I guess it's an experience for some people. And my thing about it is that as generations come and go and they learn about trade confirmers and now CLECO and so on, a lot of them will be skeptical. And it will change the way that people invest. And
I used to advocate to people to buy insurance for the protection of the children and themselves and so on.
Right.
No, I would not tell a soul that.
See? You change a whole generation with these particular.
I might tell them so, and then they might start looking for me and tell me, you make me lose everything I had. And then they're going to be laughing because they don't want to kill me.
Yeah, and the real things are, no, people don't bluff that much.
You understand?
Yep.
So I just want people to
You gotta be careful. You gotta be careful. You gotta look. But CLECO was strong throughout the region, so that's one I don't think that a lot of people saw coming. Sir, we gotta go now because we gotta take the latest. But I want to thank you for the respectful way that we were able to debate and disagree at the end of the day. So I really gotta thank you and give you big respect for that. You have a lot of manners and good brought up. See, according to here in Barbados, those asking for the number for the Sanitation Service Authority, the general office is 535-5080. 535-5080. That's the general office of the Sanitation Services Authority. Well, it's time for the latest from Starcom Network News. More of the Monday edition when we come back.